You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
It is. Hello and welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. 10 Premier League matches to be analysed in due course with bundles of bets. Dave Kellner here, joined once again by David McGovern and Tom Kerwin to preview these 10 matches in the Premier League. First of all, a warm welcome to you, Mr. David McGovern.
How are you, lads? All well?
Very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Yes, extremely well. Weather, the sun shining and the Premier League, another great weekend to come. But next week, even better. Next weekend, we've got the international break. Oh, I can't wait.
We love the international break, don't we, Derek? From the decade we've done this podcast, that's one week you can just completely ignore, can't you? Not from a betting perspective, obviously, Derek, but it's not as much fun, is it? It comes so early in the season as well.
Just as the Premier League is getting into its stride, and then you know, there's a hiccup next week, and then you get another one in October, and then a further one in November for games like England against Liechtenstein. You know, it's just weird. The people in Liechtenstein must be going mad, putting their weekend football off for a game like that. Shocking.
Tom, welcome along.
Thank you very much. I know who is looking forward to the international break. Joe Hart.
Yeah.
It's the Sam Allardyce revolution. I can't believe you boys aren't as excited as I am.
Oh my god, yeah. Joe Hart, the man whose most notable achievement in football is curing his dandruff when he had his head stuck up his arse.
Tom, I wasn't on the podcast last week. Thank you to Lee Feltz for filling in. The most disconcerting thing from my perspective, I listened to last week's podcast, fantastic stuff, but you and Derek agreeing all the time. Derek's done this podcast for a decade. He's never agreed with anyone, and nobody's ever agreed with him. That's the way we want to keep it, Tom.
Yeah, do you know what it's like? It's like every Sunderland fan just nodding along to David Moyes' post-match comments last week. Yeah, he is right. Yeah, nothing's going to change. We are in a relegation battle. Well, maybe it's just because, you know, we're on a similar wavelength, Dave. I mean,
well, exactly. I felt like Phil Neal with Graham Taylor. Yes, boss. Yes, Tom.
We can ramp it up if you want. To, you know, today we can.
I'm after your blood. I'm after your blood today, okay, Tom. So, right, yeah. No more Mr. Nice Guy from me.
Gloves are off. A bit like Joe Hart.
Yeah. Let's get stuck in then, chaps. We'll start with the TV games as we always do. And Saturday, 12:30, Tottenham versus Liverpool at White Hart Lane. Tottenham 11-8 to win the game. The draw 12-5 with Liverpool in the betting at 19-10. Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win is 5-1, enhanced from 19-5. And Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 4-1. Enhanced to 6-1. Tottenham haven't beaten Liverpool since 2012, when Gareth Bale scored at both ends on that occasion. Last season, finished 0-0 at White Hart Lane and one apiece at Anfield. But big shot last week, Derek, with Liverpool being beaten by Burnley, losing that game 2-0. And they did concede three times against Arsenal the week prior to that, despite winning that game. And it goes back to what we were saying pre-season. You're not sure what you're going to get with Liverpool this campaign.
Exactly. It wasn't a shock. If you'd have listened to the podcast carefully last week, Dave, you'd have noticed it wasn't a shock to me at all. Liverpool were crazily odds on.
Yeah.
And they're like a, you know, if you back a horse at odds on, and a horse that in the past has refused to start, you just wouldn't go near it at odds on. But that's like Liverpool. You wouldn't back him. I mean, they had 80% possession, but possession doesn't get you anything except maybe an 18-month sentence. I mean, it's just not good enough. And Klopp claims it was robbery, the defeat, but I think he's like those American swimmers. He was making it up, because it wasn't. Burnley did what you're supposed to do with a football, put it in the opponent's net. It's all but very nice, fannying around and looking great, but if you can't put it in the net, you're not going to win many games. And as I said last week, when Liverpool are good, for 20 minutes they are very, very good. 20 minutes against Arsenal, they are very, very good. But when they are bad, I've backed them. I'm hearing now, I'm telling you now, and if I ever waver on this, make me pay. I'm not going to back Liverpool at odds on at all this season. Until I find some sort of consistency in their play, a consistency they're unlikely to find, they seem unlikely to find at the moment under Klopp, I will never touch them at odds on. Furthermore, I'm not touching them at these prices against Spurs either, because I think Spurs have got a great chance of beating them. You know, Liverpool's defence is there for the taking. You touched upon it before, 3 goals against Arsenal. I mean, they only played for 20 minutes against Arsenal. 2 goals against Burnley. And OK, they got a bag full against Burton the other night, but getting a bag full against Burton doesn't make you an accomplished team. I'm not going to go for them. I think Spurs look a good team at the moment. They don't look as though they're going to concede a goal. And, you know, the players they've got going forward, they always look a threat. It's a bit of a worry that their record against Liverpool in the last, 7 games, I think they failed to beat them. You know, it's poor that, but that's a blip. I fancy Spurs big time this week.
A couple of other enhanced odds offers here. Harry Kane to score, Tottenham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, was 6-1, enhanced to 7s here with William Hill. And Daniel Sturridge to score, Liverpool to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is now 8-1. It's an intriguing matchup, this one, Tom, because both managers like to play that high pressing game. I could see the second half being the highest scoring here, because I think it could be quite tight early on.
It will suit Tottenham that way. I mean, with regard to Liverpool, you know, we talked about them being unpredictable, but wasn't it so predictable that they did go to Burnley and crash to that defeat? They're really, really weak in the centre of midfield, and I think that's where this game is won and lost. You know, it's basically, he's trying to sort of fit anybody in there, really. Wijnaldum's playing there, Lallana's sort of in there, James Milner's playing at left back. You know, Emre Can is injured, so he'd be the most likely candidate to play there. They're desperately crying out for some kind of leader in central midfield, Liverpool. And I think that's where Tottenham have really strengthened over the summer. You know, the one area they have reinforced is Wanyama, who, you know, slotted straight into things. And Tottenham are an incredibly tough team to beat. It's no surprise for me that the scorelines they've had have been 1-1 and a 1-0 win against Crystal Palace. They're not going to beat anybody by threes and fours. Maybe some of the teams towards the bottom of the table as the season goes on. That they're a team that are incredibly well prepared, and they will be well prepared for Liverpool here. And although there's been a lot of goals in this fixture over sort of the last 5, 6, 7 years, last season's games were very tight. And I look at Liverpool and I think last year under Jurgen Klopp, they went to Chelsea, they went to Arsenal, they went to Man City and won. I think there's something about the bigger games, maybe against some of the teams that are supposedly up there in and around them where they raise their game. But I can't see them beating Tottenham, because I think Tottenham are just going to be too tough a side. They give you nothing. And I wonder about Harry Kane in this one, because I was reading earlier this week, I couldn't believe it. He's not scored a goal in August.
Yeah,
Harry
that's amazing.
Kane,
yeah, I know, yeah.
Never scored.
His record in July is even worse.
But it might be the time for him to break his duck. So, you know, in this particular month, I don't mind the enhanced odds offer of Harry Kane to score and Tottenham's been 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 7-1. But I'm going for a Tottenham win and under 2.5 goals at 4-1, Dave. I think it's a great price for a Tottenham side who I don't think at this moment in time, they're not firing on all cylinders. I don't think they're capable of scoring sort of threes and fours. I think it might be a sort of 2-0 job for them this weekend.
Hull versus Manchester United next. Hull are 6-1 to win the game. The draw 3-1. Manchester United 1-2. Enhanced odds. Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 12-1, boosted to 16s. And Paul Pogba to score and Manchester United to win was 11-5. It's now 3-1. A superb start to the season for both these teams. Manchester United suddenly, Tom, got players that look like they belong at the club now, having had 3 seasons without that. They beat Southampton 2-0 last week, looked in full control, and prior to that had beaten Bournemouth 3-1 on the opening day of the season. Zlatan got 4 goals in 3 games. Paul Pogba, his fleeting cameos were a sign of things to come last weekend. But Hull, the massive surprise at the start of the season, really.
Huge surprise. Nobody would have given them a chance of winning both the games that they have done. But, you know, we talked about the Leicester game. Leicester weren't firing. Swansea, that was a brilliant sort of smash and grab job. And although Swansea, you know, supposedly dominated that game, they only had 3 shots on target. So Hull did an incredible job there of getting 6 points on the board, but I don't think they're going to be adding any this weekend. Manchester United at the start of the season, you know, and Zlatan in particular, he's like the big kid in the playground, you know, just holding the little kids at bay, you know, with his arm outstretched on their forehead. They can't get anywhere near him. No one's really laid a glove on Manchester United yet. And okay, it is only 2 games of the season, but I think they have that little bit of swagger about them. And in the game against Southampton last week, you know, Pogba coming into things, it just seemed to lift the team even more. And we talked about them now having those players that can break the deadlock in tight games. And Zlatan's done that already in all the matches, really, to a point. So I think Manchester United is going to be too strong. They're not giving much away at the back. And Hull City's game plan here, you know, we'll obviously be trying to try and contain them, but I think they probably were going to do that against Leicester. And then the game opened right up. And, you know, we can't forget Hull City do have some good players in the team. They do have players like Snodgrass, who is capable of doing something, you know, in the middle of the park as well. You know, Huddleston's made a good start to the season, but I just think Manchester United are going to crowd them out. And, you know, Manchester United, a good record against Hull as well. They've won three of the last four trips there. I can't see anything other than a Manchester United win. And I think it'll probably be comfortable. I think you're going to get your value here looking at those goal scoring markets. I mean, Zlatan to score first is 3-1, which I think is good. But I think Manchester United will win this one with breathing space. So I'd look at the minus one.
Yeah, if you're looking at minus one, Manchester United in the betting at 5-4 here. Of course, it's Mike Phelan welcoming his old club to Hull on Saturday tea time. And who'd have thought the key to success for Hull City, Derek, was Tom Huddleston in central midfield and Jake Livermore in the centre of defence. I mean, going into the season, we were thinking they were Hull were going to be there for the taking. But 6 points on the board already for Hull City.
Yeah, quite incredible. But what Tom mentioned there, you know, when you're relying to make the difference in this match on Robert Snodgrass, come on, you know, oh, he's a tidy player, but come on, he wouldn't get a sniff of a game in Man United's team. United win this all day long, 1-2. You know, people still at this day and age fight shy of backing, you know, heavy odds on pokes away from home. But it's a different country now, the Premier League. Teams win away from home just as often as they do at home. In fact, most teams prefer playing away from home these days because at home you don't get the hostile support you used to get. You know, not hostile, that's the wrong word, ardent support. You know, I never worries me backing teams odds on away from home, and United will win this in a canter, probably to nil. I just can't see Hull scoring past them. And you mentioned Zlatan, but Pogba's the man. I mean, if Liverpool had Pogba, this is only evidence of just like a game and a half of watching them. If Liverpool had Pogba, they would win the title. That's how much of a difference this guy is going to make. And you mentioned the enhanced odds, 3-1 Pogba to score and United to win. I'm on that as well because he looks dangerous every time he's, you know, in the opposition half. Zlatan, I'm still an anti-Zlatan. I know he got two goals. Was it two against Southampton or was it just one? I can't remember now. Anyway, he stunk the place out. He had an absolute nightmare. And, you know, he scored two goals, but remember everybody was going berserk over Theo Walcott when he got a hat-trick against Croatia in that game. But he stung the place out that day and has continued to stink everywhere else out he's been. It was the same with Diego Costa his first season at Chelsea. He was
I knew you were going to mention Diego Costa.
I knew the guy was a pudding, and it's since been proved. So, I'm not having Zlatan at all. I think he will be a major, major flop. He's only scored against, Southampton and Bournemouth. Whoopie-doo! You know, that's not to say he's not going to score against Hull, who are hopeless, but Man United will win this 1-2. If you don't want to back that away from home, back to win to nil, which is, I think, it's just a shade of odds against.
Derek, Diego Costa's still scoring goals for Chelsea.
Yeah, but what has he done with them? What has he done? I mean, this is the shining example when I ever have this argument. It was Ruud van Nistelrooy. I'm sure people have heard me say this before, but he scored bagfuls of goals for Man United. But when he was there, it was their most fallow period. They hardly won a light. And, you know, it's just, you need more. In this day and age, you need more than just putting turning chances into goals. You've got to contribute a hell of a lot more than that. And he doesn't. Costa doesn't. Anyway, let's get off Chelsea. It's Man United. Zlatan is a much better player than Diego Costa. I'm a much better player than Diego Costa. But he ain't the big saviour everybody's making out.
There are people around the land just banging their head on the desk right now, Derek, listening to you talk about Diego Costa and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. What's your bet in this one then, Derek?
Man United to win 2-0. I just can't see losing that bet.
Manchester United to win the game 2-0, 23-20, so odds against. I think by the end of the season, Derek, you're going to be a fully-fledged Manchester United supporter.
Well, they look a proper team now. They do. Mainly because of Pogba. I mean, he's just... Mourinho knows what he's about. And, OK, I think no matter what they did charge for Pogba, he'd have paid it because that's how... He knows that this guy makes all the difference. And there aren't that many players in world football who do, and he's one of them.
On to West Brom versus Middlesbrough. Sunday's kick-off at 1:30. Sunday's televised match at 1:30. West Brom 8-5 to win this game. The draw 19-10 with Middlesbrough in the betting at 2-1. Enhanced odds, Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win was 7-2. That's been boosted to 5-1. And Christian Stuani to score and Middlesbrough to win was 5-1, now 7-1. Both these teams actually crashed out of the EFL Trophy midweek. I get the feeling neither manager will be too upset about that, though, Derek. From the outset, the key for both these clubs is maintaining their status in the top flight. And on the evidence of what we've seen so far, maybe Middlesbrough slightly better equipped than West Brom to do that.
Yeah, that was a very professional performance by them last week against Sunderland. I was really impressed. And, you know, I've said last week, my passport to riches this season is simple. Oppose West Brom whenever they are favourites. And the snaggers are so bad they won't often be favourites, but they are this time around. I mean, a local paper survey in the West Midlands reported that 7 out of 10 Baggies thought it was time for Tony Pulis to go. That survey was of the players. I mean, it must be absolutely sick. A joyless experience playing for them. They've only won one of their last 12 matches, and yet they're favourites to beat Borough. I mean, it just doesn't wash, like me. I think Borough are a tidy side. I think, you know what, someone give me a tidy odds now for them to be finishing the top half of the table. I'd back them. I think they're a good side. And at these odds, it's the most unmissable bet since the last one I gave you, which luckily I missed.
2-1 Borough to win the game. If you're looking at that enhanced odds offer, by the way, Christian Stuani scored twice, obviously, on his Premier League debut last weekend. Alvaro Negredo linking up with him on that occasion, and he scored against Stoke on the opening weekend as well. So a couple of maybe decent goal scorer bets to have a look at here in Negredo and Stuani.
I would prefer to look at Negredo. I mean, Stuani scored the wonderful goal. He finished off a team move at Sunderland, but Negredo's been involved in all the goals, and I've been so impressed with the start he's made. Whether he can maintain it throughout the season, I don't know, but he's so important for their link-up play. I watched Borough a lot in the Championship last year, and it's what they were missing. They spent a lot of money on Jordan Rhodes, and the feeling was when they signed him, if they got promoted, he was never really going to cut it. And I think they've identified Negredo as the key piece in the jigsaw. They're a very good passing side, Middlesbrough. They are well-drilled because they've been playing the same way under Karanka for 2-3 years. And one of the stats I looked at ahead of this game, which probably summed it up, they've completed double the amount of passes that West Brom have this season, 634 to 317. If anything showed you how this game's going to go and how Middlesbrough will go there full of confidence, they will keep the ball off West Brom. West Brom are averaging less than a goal a game under Tony Pulis. Yeah. I can't be having them at all. I think Negredo is a decent shout, particularly in the enhanced odds offer of a Negredo goal and a Middlesbrough 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. But I think Middlesbrough are great. It's one of my favourite bets of the weekend, this. Because I think Middlesbrough, they've gone there with two wins on the spin, and they'll look at this and think, wow, 9 points from the first three games, they almost think they're almost there. But I think the way that they play and the threats that they have, I think they've got a great chance of upsetting West Brom this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. 2-1 Middlesbrough to win that game. The 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday is Manchester City versus West Ham at the Etihad. And Manchester City are 3-10 to win the game. The draw 9-2 with West Ham in the betting at 17-2. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 11-10, enhanced to 6-4. Enner Valencia to score and West Ham to win was 11-2. It's now 12-1. And Sergio Aguero to score, Man City to win 3-1, 4-0 or 4-1 was 4-1, now 9-2. And Payet to score, West Ham to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 22-1. And now 25-1. And Tom, since the market opened for this match, Manchester City getting shorter and shorter and shorter in the 90 minutes betting. They were cut further after West Ham's loss against Astra at the Olympic Stadium on Thursday night as well. And this is something, Tom, we talked about on Monday's podcast. The pre-season optimism with West Ham is draining away at an alarming rate now.
It is. You know, I talked about it there. I said second season syndrome for them. They hit such heights last year. The move to the new stadium, a few injuries to key players, a bit of frustration in the transfer market. And all of a sudden, they look like the West Ham of old, don't they? They look like a team that maybe on their day could cause teams problems. But they look miles away from the team that went to Man City and won their last season and just made that flying start and just kept it going. Slaven Bilic just looks almost a wreck of a man at the moment. He looks like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. I don't know if just that trudge from the dressing rooms to the press, you know, the press conference every game at his home stadium is causing him problems. But he just... he just looks like a man now who's lost that spark, that enthusiasm. We watched him, on ITV during the summer at the Euros, and you just kind of got an insight into what this guy must be like around West Ham day to day. Maybe part of the reason they've had success, but this for me is a West Ham side that are feeling very sorry for themselves, have too many injuries in too many key areas, too many players not playing to form. And I don't know what they do at Manchester City. They don't have the pace, I don't think, to hit them on the counter-attack. They don't have an Andy Carroll there just to play the old Sam Allardyce way or make life difficult for Manchester City and ask them a different question. So I have no idea what West Ham's approach in this one is. And as for Man City, they are work in progress. They're still work in progress. And, I think the way that they took Stoke apart towards the end of that game, I don't think it was a flattering scoreline that one last week. But I think Man City at home will be absolutely flying. I think they'll look to pull West Ham to pieces. I don't think it's going to be some, ridiculous scoreline, a cricket scoreline, but I do think Man City will win with plenty of breathing space. And I can see this being game over after an hour. But I do like Aguero, obviously. And the Man City 3-1, 4-0 or 4-1 and Aguero goal at 9-2. Again, these enhanced odds offers this week look very tasty. And that for me looks good. Aguero's got to be good for two goals.
If you fancy Aguero to get two or more in the match, that's 23-10 here with William Hill. I think Tom picked up Derek on the key point as well. Those injuries for West Ham, Andre Ayew, Andy Carroll, Aaron Cresswell, Sofiane Fagouli, who we've not seen yet, and Dimitri Payet and Manuel Lanzini, they'll be game time decisions. West Ham did win this fixture back in September 2-1, but a very, very different side back then, Derek.
Yeah, You look at West Ham's personnel now. You look at the list of potential scorers, and you wonder how they can possibly avoid defeat. And it's just there's nothing there that makes you think, yeah, they can get something from this game. We probably said that in September last year, but City weren't firing them, and they are now. This looks an absolute stone cold home banker, but we've had our fingers burned on Man City in the past at long odds on. And I really don't want to back him at 3-10. If I'm backing something at 3-10, I want it to have already won. And even then, I'd think twice. I'm going to have to go for the thing about West Ham, the shocking at the moment, and to lose to Astra, the Romanian team on Thursday, it was a big game after West Ham, for the Olympic Stadium, and they needed, a run in the competition. This is against a team that, was supposedly treating the trip to London as an excuse to cruise the Jubilee line with a bit crying baby on their shoulder, and they lose 1-0 to the players. I can't believe that result. But the thing about West Ham is that though they're nowhere near as vibrant as they were last season, they're a shadow of that side. They're not going to get pasted by anybody. They look quite tight. So I'm going to go for City to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 21-10.
Very good. That's in the correct score group betting there. City to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Just below the goal scorer betting on the William Hill website, 21-10. Let's move on to the non-televised games this weekend, all Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll start with Chelsea versus Burnley. 2-7 Chelsea to win this game. The draw 4-1 with Burnley in the betting at 11-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 11-10, enhanced to 6-4, and Sam Vokes to score and Burnley to win was 18-1. It's now 25-1. I think Derek, in a similar way to both West Brom and Middlesbrough, who we've talked about, Sean Dyche and Burnley won't be that bothered about going out of the EFL Cup midweek, losing out to Accrington in stoppage time. The team that Dyche put out was unrecognisable to that team that beat Liverpool last weekend. We mentioned they only had, or you mentioned, Derek, that Liverpool had 80% possession in that game, but Sean Dyche and his men restricted Liverpool to shots from distance. I suppose the question here is, have Chelsea got the quality to break Burnley down, because Burnley will set up exactly the same way?
Yeah, they will. But who'd be a football punter? Burnley beat Liverpool 2-0, a team that were long odds on, and then they go and lose to Atkinson Stanley, do they? It was just absolutely ridiculous. But as you say, he played an unrecognisable team. And maybe, it's no sad thing for them to have gone out of that competition when Premier League survival is be all and end all. This is another Man City game, isn't it? It looks a stone-cold home banker, but that's factored into the odds. And I'm not sure in these days, in the Premier League, that you want to be taking prices like this, 3-10, getting onto 1-4 territory, even against at home to Burnley. Chelsea should win, obviously. They've only lost one their last 45 Premier League home games against newly promoted teams. That was last season, by the way, against Bournemouth. But you know, you look at Burnley, and this is a team that's beaten Liverpool 2-0, and you think, yeah, maybe, but 11-1, it's not big enough. That's not big enough, that. I can't have them. It troubles me, this fixture. I really don't know what to do. I think if in doubt, got to stick with the tried and trusted formula, and mine, where Chelsea are concerned, it cost me a bundle last season, is Eden Hazard to score, because he's just different class. Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 11-10, now 6-4. I just don't see how that will fail.
Derek, here's a question for you. Gun to head, would you rather have Manchester City at virtually the same price at home against West Ham or Chelsea at home against Burnley?
Chelsea at home against Burnley, I would rather have.
Okay. Wins against West Ham, Watford and Bristol Rovers to open up Antonio Conte's campaign, Tom. And incidentally, Conte, as manager, currently unbeaten in 29 successive league home matches. As a club manager, winning 27, drawing 2 and losing none. So he does tend to build his reputation on home form, Antonio Conte.
Well, he does, but you know, I think he'll be concerned with what he's seen from his team so far this season. I mean, they've made, obviously, a great start results-wise, but I think in the performances, they were in complete control against West Ham, eased off, thought they'd done it, then had a little bit of a shock and had to scramble at the end. You know, against Watford as well, they never really performed. It was only the changes that Conte had made from the bench. You know, Fabregas coming on, Batshuayi as well had made a big impact. He looks a really good player, you know. If there are any problems, well, there's going to be a suspension for Diego Costa very soon, isn't there? So you think he looks like a decent player to come in and maybe lead that line. So I think there's a few selection issues for Conte this week. But I think he'll be happy with some of the basics, but I don't think he'll be happy with their sort of game management. And in this match, this will be a game the Chelsea fans are arriving at Stamford Bridge thinking, well, we're going to turn them over. I don't think a Conte side is going to be like that. I can't see Chelsea turning many teams over. I think they get to, it's a bit like Mourinho. He's similar in a lot of ways. I think he'll get to a point where they get 2-0 up in this game and that's it. We've done it. And I think he's just all about the result at all costs. He's not looking to do it in any particular style. Chelsea win this game. Burnley are a team that, as I've talked about before, they are methodical, they are well-drilled, but when they're coming up against this quality, they're going to struggle. They cannot have 20% possession at Stamford Bridge and think they're going to get a result. They've got no chance. There's too many good players in this Chelsea side. The only thing I have looked at is potentially them frustrating a Chelsea side who I don't think are firing yet. They're not as fluent as we think they're going to be. And maybe the double result, the draw Chelsea at 3-1. You know, maybe Burnley can dig in there. And we've seen this script play out a number of times, haven't we? You know, the minnows or the smaller team go away. They dig in, but ultimately it kind of falls to pieces once the sort of fitness comes into it and that quality in the final half hour. So that's maybe where I'd look. But I think a Chelsea win and overs as well is also good values at about 3-4. So, but you can't look past Hazard too. But Chelsea win it. But I just think looking at their previous games, you can look at it two ways. You can say they've scraped past West Ham and Watford because they've left it late in both games. You know, or you can say, like we used to say about Manchester United for years, they've got that sort of will to win, that desire to go right to the end. And if it is 1-1 or it is 0-0 in the final 5 minutes of Stamford Bridge on Saturday, they've still got a great chance of winning.
Very good. Crystal Palace versus Bournemouth next. Crystal Palace 11-8. The draw 11-5 with Bournemouth in the betting at 21-10, enhanced odds, Andros Townsend to score and Palace to win was 7-2, now 5-1. And Joshua King to score and Bournemouth to win was 9-2, now 6-1. 19th versus 20th in the league here. Neither picked up a point yet, but both got wins in midweek. And Crystal Palace's record signing, Christian Benteke, got 45 minutes against Blackpool on Tuesday night. And that was, Tom, the kick up the backside that Connor Wickham needed to score because he got on the score sheet. And I suppose Pardew maybe not ready to start Benteke, who's slightly short of match fitness at the moment. So his inclusion, questionable, might come on from the bench again.
Maybe, Dave, but I think if you spend that money on somebody, you know, he should be fresh, should he not? I know he doesn't have maybe the match practice, but I think he's going to be under great pressure to play him. A bit like Middlesbrough at West Brom, I really like Bournemouth in this game. I do at the price. I think Bournemouth, I thought they played well against West Ham, you know, I didn't think they were that bad. I thought they were okay against Manchester United, but Manchester United are Manchester United. So I give Bournemouth a great chance here. They've done well as well in recent sort of recent games in London. They won this fixture 2-1 last season. I think on the counter-attack at Selhurst Park, I think they're going to wreak havoc. Something's not right at Crystal Palace. I can't put my finger on it, but something isn't right, either with the transfer dealings they've done this summer, even this week with Wilfried Zaha and bids coming in from Tottenham. Tottenham only would have made a bid for him if they had some encouragement, be it from the player and his agent or the club. Mm. And I just don't think it's a happy camp at Crystal Palace. Results prove it. This is going back a long way now. They've won 2 of the last 21 Premier League matches. Now, I know Bournemouth are 7 without a win if you're going back to the back end of last year. But I think with Eddie Howe, I think it's a happier, more unified camp with pace and goal threat. And I think they're going to cause problems. I think this is the fixture now. Manchester United and West Ham away, they might have thought we could get a point from those two. But I think this is one that Bournemouth will be desperate to get off the mark and get 3 points. And I think Bournemouth are a win or bust side. I don't think they're a team that are going to go away like a Burnley and nick points. I don't think he's like that, Eddie Howe. And I mentioned it before, not in a cavalier, reckless way, but I just think he knows his strength in his team is going forward. And I think they'll want to prey on what is an unhappy Crystal Palace camp at the moment. So I'm with Bournemouth to win this one.
Interesting what Tom says there about Palace, Derek, because Damien Delaney's comments about Christian Benteke before he arrived at the club were a little bit strange, I thought. Obviously, he's not Lionel Messi, but yeah, he's a goal scorer, Christian Benteke.
Not for Liverpool, he wasn't. I found those eye-opening, the comments, to be honest. I did read them and I thought, it's as though he's had previous with him, you know, and he thought, yeah, I don't want this character coming to the club, you know. It did seem odd, and that's when you're signing on for a new club, I mean, even at amateur level, you want to get a warm welcome, and that was anything but. I don't think the signing of Benteke is going to do anything for Palace's threat. I really don't. I think, you know, Benteke and Wickham up front, Jesus, you know, that's not going to frighten anybody, is it? Palace were in for Benteke for a long time with Liverpool. Liverpool were waiting for them to table another offer, but I think they could have got him by offering another table. I mean, that's how weak I think he is. I can't have Palace. Tom's exactly right. This is West Brom v Borough all over again. Mm. Why on earth, where would anybody back Palace as favourites in this game? Nobody would, is the answer. All the money will be for Bournemouth, and I think you might see come kick-off time joint favourites in this game. Bournemouth haven't hit the ground running. They've been a bit disappointing, to be honest. I thought they lacked ambition in that West Ham game. You know, it wasn't as if West Ham were playing well, and subsequent events have proven that the Hammers were there for the taking. I think Eddie Howe might take note of that game and think, well, you know, let's throw caution to the wind a bit, certainly against this team. Bournemouth are overpriced, definitely. I'm on them all day long.
I wonder who told Christian Benteke who Damien Delaney was, by the way, because I mean, he must be coming into the club thinking, who the hell is Damien Delaney and why is he making these comments about me?
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah, very, very odd. It's inconceivable, actually, isn't it? You might think those things, but don't say them.
Yeah,
I like Benteke and Wickham. It sounds like a posh candle shop in Notting Hill or something. They could open that up if you don't go well on the pitch. Benteke and Wickham, fragrance candles.
Everton versus Stoke is up next. Everton 3-4, the draw 13-5 with Stoke in the betting at 15-4. Enhanced odds, Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win was 11-5, now 3-1. And Bojan to score and Stoke to win was 8-1. It's been enhanced to 10-1. Derek, I think we've already seen the impact Ronald Koeman is making with Everton. They look physically fitter than they did under Roberto Martinez. And I'm impressed with the work they've done in the transfer window as well. Idrissa Gueye looks at a player with serious quality. Picking up Ashley Williams, definitely good business. And we've talked about the class of Yannick Bolasie on previous podcasts. Maybe they are going to challenge for the title this season, Derek. Maybe it's going to happen after all.
Steady on, Mr. Kellner. This troubles me, this fixture, because I've been disappointed in Stoke. I thought I was really disappointed in them against Man City last week. And I was fully intending to back Everton here. But the odds have stopped me in my tracks. 3-4, Everton to beat a Stoke side that are capable on their day of winning anyway. In fact, I think they've won the last two visits to Everton. It's one of these, you know. As a value punter, I have to go for Stoke here. I mean, I think Everton will beat, but I can't back him at 3-4. Where do I draw the line on that? Because I think Everton are going to win, do I back him at 1-2, 1-3? I have to draw the line somewhere, and I think Everton are odds on is a line enough to draw under. I'm going to go for Stoke, because sooner or later, they had a slow start last season, and then they came really good, didn't they, Stoke, in the run-up to October, November. I think it's worth taking the chance of that. That purple patch will come a little bit sooner. Mm. They've been disappointing so far, fair enough. But that's why they're almost 4-1 in this, because they shouldn't be that price. So I'm going to go on value ground alone for Stoke here. But I think Everton will finish higher than them in the table.
It is worth noting, Derek, as well, that Stoke have won 3 of their last 5 visits to Goodison, including the last 2 as well in the Premier League. So they have got previous going to Goodison and picking up 3 points. However, Tom, on the flip side of that, they didn't finish last season well, and they've got just 2 wins now in their last 12 Premier League fixtures.
Yeah, they're in a rut at Stoke. I made, you know, decent profit from Stoke. It was November, sort of Christmas time, and when they went to Goodison Park and won 4-3, they had Manchester United as well at Christmas, and they were beating everybody, and they looked so strong, and Arnautovic was in great form, and the supporting cast around him were playing well. But they've not got it going yet. I'm with Derek. I'm struggling really to look at this, particularly at the prices. I want to go with Everton. I just see this fixture screaming out goals. I mean, what alarmed me a little bit was how Stoke, well, obviously when they were pressing last week against Manchester City, they had a little bit of a collapse. I know it's against Manchester City with the pace they had on the break, but they did open themselves up. And I still think Everton have a little bit of vulnerability defensively at Goodison Park. I noticed Everton have scored 3 in the last couple of games against Stoke. And I think Everton have a lot of goal threat in the team. I know Lukaku's not firing at the moment. But I was quite impressed with Everton last week. I know what we talked about with West Brom is probably not that impressive a result going down there and winning. But it was the way that they played. I thought they were in control of the game. But I think this one will probably be wide open. I'm not expecting necessarily a 4-3 like it was last year. But again, I'm looking at 2 teams here where I think they're probably the biggest strength is going forward. If you had to push me for a winner, I think Everton might just sneak it. I would much prefer to play the goals here. And I think over 3.5 goals at 5-2 is decent enough because I do think that Stoke, the way that they play with their attacking players away from home, I think they have to play open. They have to play on the counter. And if they can frustrate Everton for the first 20 minutes or so, I think they'll get some joy as they did last year. So I'm not expecting 7 goals, but I'm expecting at least 4 in the game.
Leicester Swansea next. Leicester 8-11. The draw 13-5 with Swansea in the betting at 4-1. Enhanced odds. Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win was 2-1. Now 3-1. And Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 8-1. Enhanced to 10-1. This hasn't been a good fixture for Swansea in the past. They're without a win in their last 12 trips to Leicester, losing on 9 occasions and drawing the other 3. And they've actually lost 6 in a row now away from home at Leicester. I think, Tom, Leicester are good things here. I really do. Mark Clattenburg's refereeing performance last week in their draw against Arsenal wasn't good, to say the least. But they're catching a Swansea side that were beaten 2-0 by Hull last weekend. And in fact, both these sides have been beaten by Hull in the opening couple of Premier League fixtures.
Yeah, I've looked at Leicester's 2 performances pretty closely. I think they were caught off guard against Hull. They weren't great, far from it. They didn't deserve to get anything from the game. But they weren't as bad as some teams I've seen this season in a one-off game. And I thought they were okay against Arsenal as well. I thought on a different day with different referee, maybe they would have nicked that game and won it. So I think they're playing all right, Leicester. I don't think it's going to affect them too much that they haven't picked up a victory yet in the league. And I think this is the game that we'll see them on their way. Swansea, they're limp up front. They're ineffective. You know, they did dominate that game last week against Hull from a possession point of view. But they only had 3 shots on target. Hull had 2. So if you're having that much pressure at home, you've got to do a little bit more with it. And away from home, I know they beat Burnley on the opening day, and that was a good win. But I can't see Swansea causing Leicester any problems in this one at all. And I think, I'm interested to see who's going to sort of get up and running in terms of the goal scorers for Leicester. But I see this being a very comfortable afternoon's work for Leicester. I think they'll get up and running with a comfortable win.
8-11 Leicester to win the game. Another couple of enhanced odds offers here. Jamie Vardy to score. Leicester to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 9-2, now 5-1. And Fernando Llorente to score. And Swansea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 10-1, now 11-1. Do you concur, Mr. McGovern?
Yes, I do. I'm struggling to work out what your odd compilers are thinking in this game, because, you know, the job of the odd compilers is to take 2-way money, isn't it? They're never going to take 3-way money. They're never going to take money on the draw. But I can't see anybody backing Swansea at 4-1 here. I mean, that's roughly the same price Stoke are to win at Everton. You know, and Swansea to win at the home of the champions, same price Stoke are to win at Everton. Don't make any sense to me. 8-11 is a real come on to punters. 8-11 for Leicester. This is the champions, remember. Okay, they haven't hit the ground running. But, you know, they were as good as Arsenal last week. And they're home to a Swansea side that just always get pasted away from home. It just doesn't make sense to me. Interesting bet, if anybody was doing it, who would have more possession in this game, Swansea or Leicester? I suspect Swansea might be favourites in that one. I don't know, maybe I'm being silly there. Leicester will win this, an 8-11 is a gift. Mind you, we said that when they were, you know, roughly similar price at Hull on the opening day, and look what happened there. That won't happen again. Leicester will win. And interestingly, Jamie Vardy, who last season's form, you know, you back all day to score. I think he's only scored in one of Leicester's last seven games, I think I read somewhere.
Yeah, he's only got 3-12 now, Derek.
Yeah, 11-8 to score at any time. That run has got to end because he's a proper goal scorer, and I wouldn't put anybody backing him at 11-8 to score at any time.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Vardy to score any time. 11-8 here with William Hill. On to Southampton versus Sunderland. Southampton 8-13. The draw 13-5. Sunderland 5-1. Enhanced odds. Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win was 19-10. Now 5-2. And Adnan Januzaj to score and Sunderland to win was in the betting at 10-1. It's now 14-1. This has got to be, Derek, the most, to use your phrase, criminally short price in the coupon this week.
Southampton.
Got to be, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've said that every time Southampton play, I say that they're underpriced. And yeah, you know, nothing ever changes. The thing is, they'll win this game because Sunderland are abysmal. Sunderland are 5-1. I couldn't touch with your money or Tom's money. Watching them against Middlesbrough last week, I thought, what on earth are this team doing in the Premier League? They were awful. Without, you know, two or three of their more established players this weekend, I look down their list and there's nothing there. I mean, Stephen Pienaar might be a good signing for them, but, you know, he hasn't been a Premier League force for two or three seasons now. By the way, little blow with my own trumpet, they did mention in last week that Van Aanholt was worth a bet.
Yeah.
To score at any time, and he did the business. But Southampton will win this. It's just 8-13 is too short. I can't see Sunderland scoring. I can't see them scoring all season, to be honest. They're absolutely atrocious. So I'm going to go for Southampton to win 2-0, which I think is around the 6-4 mark, 7-4 mark.
It's 11-8. Nice try, Derek. It's 11-8. Southampton.
I'm sure Hill would give 6-4, 7-4. He'd be that nice chat for Hill.
Well, once they know you've tipped it, Derek, I'm sure it'll drift. Southampton to win 2-0, 11-8 here with William Hill. I do think, Tom, they look short, Southampton 8-13 to win this game.
Yeah, they do. You know, Sunderland have had we talk about them slow starts to the season. It's 21 games since they last won a match in August or September. So it's going to continue for them for a few more weeks, Sunderland fans, unfortunately. And I just wonder about those comments from David Moyes last week. I don't think any Sunderland player would think that they're going to be challenging for a European spot or a top half finish. But you do wonder when the manager's, you know, all right, he's being honest and he's only saying what everyone else is saying. But at the same time, I think projecting that outwardly, you know, of what you're thinking, I just think you're setting yourself up for a really difficult campaign and probably more difficult than it maybe even needs to be. But he just doesn't have the players, David Moyes. It's as simple as that. And he's putting his faith in Jermaine Defoe, Adnan Januzaj, Stephen Pienaar. There's not enough there to cause Southampton problems. So it's a Southampton win for me. And I like Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win at 5-2. You know, if him and Long start up front, far too much movement in that sort of front two for the Sunderland defence.
Sorry, you might mention the same stat I'm going to mention there. Are you about to mention one there, Dave?
I was going to mention one on Jermaine Defoe. That he scored in 5 successive Premier League away games, Jermaine Defoe, now. So he might be worth a look at 23-10. What I was going to say, Derek, is that even though we slated Graziano Pella on this podcast a few times, Southampton haven't replaced him, have they, with Nathan Redmond and Shane Long? They're not going to get you 20-plus goals a season.
Possibly not. Redmond and Long are guys I would prefer to be with up front away from home than at home when you're trying to break down a packed defence. So I can see your point there. You'd probably want a Pella on home ground, the 2-speed merchants away. But if I was a defender, I would rather mark Pelé than those two. Mm. The stat I was going to mention was that Southampton have had a player sent off in 2 of their last 3 Premier League games against Sunderland. So there's one. Well, maybe there's a bit of a bad feeling between these two sides. I don't know.
If you're looking at the card markets, we've got them on the William Hill website. You can bet on a red card in the game, and I'm trying to fill while I find it. 11-2. For there to be a red card in the match in this one. So that might be might be worth a glance.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement from the Southampton forwards. That's, you know, I just think that Sunderland defence is a little bit cumbersome. You know, that there could be problems there. And with Southampton going forward, I think Jay Rodriguez, if he gets back to any, you know, he's been out for so long, hasn't he? But he could be a man this season. You know, if he gets back to where he was, and it's a big question, but there. You know, I think he looked like a really good player before he suffered his really serious injury. Mm.
Watford Arsenal's the final game we're going to look at this weekend. Watford 18-5 to win the game. The draw 11-4 with Arsenal in the betting at 8-11. Enhanced odds, Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 6-1, now 8-1. And Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 13-5, now 3-1. It looks, Tom, as if Arsenal are finally going to make a couple of signings in the transfer window, with Lucas Perez, the striker from Deportivo, and Shkodran Mustafi set to sign. My question is, why hasn't it been done sooner? Why has Arsene Wenger waited till the last week in the transfer window? It's going to take time for these players, if they do come in, to acclimatise to Premier League football. And they're getting behind already in terms of the Premier League.
I don't know. He must have shares in that Arsenal fan TV just so he can watch Arsenal fans ranting and then tens of thousands of people watching. Because, look, same old questions, isn't it? Same old Arsene Wenger, same old Arsenal, looking all right, but still got weaknesses. And whether the signings come in and make a major difference for them. My thoughts aren't changing on Arsenal at all. 8-11 in this one. You know, you've got to look at the opposition here and you've got to look at Watford and think, I didn't think they were great against Chelsea. You know, I know that they were in front and, you know, they were close to getting a result and let it slip. I still think there's sort of a bedding in period for them as well. I think they're going to get better. But I think this is the kind of game that Troy Deeney kind of rolls up his sleeves and thinks, yeah, I can really give you a tough time. You know, this so-called Arsenal, you know, soft touch defence, which they are. You know, I think they'll find it tough. Be a big atmosphere as well, you know, at this game. This is a game that Watford fans really look forward to, you know, against any of the real London side. So, I don't know. I'm kind of looking at Watford at the price and thinking, can I get on board with them? I think Arsenal's quality might just come through here. But again, I don't want to be backing them on the outright. I really don't. I possibly prefer to look just for a boosted, you know, bit of value is maybe look at the draw. Arsenal at 17-5. You know, it's a similar price to Watford on the outright. The last two trips to Vicarage Road, that, you know, the scorelines have been level at the break, and it might just be one of those games that Arsenal get over the line, and we might see a similar kind of performance from Watford as we've seen against Chelsea.
Derek, your opinion on this one?
Well, you mentioned Wenger. It was one of the story in the Mirror this week that he'd actually confirmed that he treats Arsenal's money like his own. That's because on an £8 million a year salary, most of it is. I mean, £8 million a year for wrecking a Premier League club next week, if you can get it. Yeah, I mean, his time is long past. We all know that. And Tom is right to have reservations about backing him at 8-11. Wasn't it that these two teams met in the FA Cup? Was it close final or semi-final last year? And Watford did the number on them?
Yeah, Igalo scored. Just from memory, Igalo scored in that game, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, I think it was 2-0, wasn't it? It was a great performance by Watford. And they've just been pushed out to 9-2, Watford, as we were speaking then. And I think that's worth taking a chance on. You know, Arsenal have yet to hit top gear. And even when they hit top gear, I'm still prepared to take them on. I really don't see anything to be scared of from Arsenal. Yeah, they'll have a purple patch at some stage of the season. They'll, you know, they'll win four or five games on the bounce, and Wenger will look, he'll look like the cat that's got the cream. I'm right all along, you'll be saying to the Arsenal fans, and then they'll fall off a cliff again. It happens every season. I just think Watford are overpriced here at 92. It's another value bet.
Yeah, I agree. Watford 9-2 to win the game. Naps then, chaps. Best bets this weekend to finish off on the podcast. Lewis Allen, who's keeping the Naps table up to date this season, because I didn't last season, basically. Derek, you're in last at the moment, -20. Tom, after Sergio Aguero scored last weekend, your level. And I'm plus £12.50 after my one winning bet the opening weekend, and that's all you're going to get, listeners, this season. Derek, you're trailing, so I'll let you lead us off here.
Yeah, okay. I think I will go. I might be pinching Tom's here, but I'm going to go for Middlesbrough 9-5 to win at West Brom.
Middlesbrough 9-5. They've changed. That has just changed.
Yeah,
hasn't it?
2-1. Yeah,
as we were speaking, 9-5 Middlesbrough to win that game against West Brom. Tom.
Yeah, Middlesbrough would have been very close, but I've got to go with Leicester. I think Leicester will finally get up and running against Swansea. As I said, I'm not a massive fan of this Swansea side. I think they're pretty toothless up front. I think Leicester have played okay this season, so I think they'll win. I think they're a good price.
Leicester goes into the bet with Middlesbrough.
Four to five now.
Yeah. I'm going Watford draw no bet here at 11-4 at home against Arsenal. We've talked about this game in detail. I won't go into too much more detail about it, but I think Arsenal are vulnerable defensively and Watford can take advantage. So I like Watford at the prices. 11-4 draw no bet Watford. So Middlesbrough 9-5, Leicester at 4-5, Watford draw no bet at 11-4, 17.9-1 is the treble price. Chaps, thank you for your company. Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You can get us on iTunes as well. Subscribe to the podcast. Get it delivered weekly. And myself, Tom and Derek will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet this week, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.